Hello mga kababayan, si Jane Rowland po ito ang inyong podcaster. Ika-isang daang yugto na po tayo ngayon sa Usapang Pinoy, hatid sa inyo ng Georgia Asian Times. Muli, nagpapasalamat po ako sa patuloy ninyong pakikinig sa Usapang Pinoy and for sharing the Usapang Pinoy podcast Facebook group page to your friends. We are growing in numbers every day. Our topic today is cybersecurity awareness, specifically internet safety basics. This is a very important topic, not only for Filipinos, but for everyone, especially our senior citizens who have been victims, easy victims of scammers. Ang ating bisita po ngayon ay si Angela Hodnett, a senior information security awareness consultant with over 13 years at a large insurance company, where she provides cybersecurity education and digital safety information. Angela is known for her compassionate, clear communication style and her dedication to helping people navigate the digital world with confidence. In addition to her professional work, Angela routinely volunteers to speak with students, parents, and older adults about internet safety, empowering communities to protect themselves online. She blends technical expertise with real-world empathy, making the cybersecurity approachable and actionable. Ngunit bago ko pa siya tawagin, narito po ang ating community calendar of events. Ang unang-una, on October 27, the World War II Georgia Veterans in the Philippines exhibit is going to be shown in Dalton, Georgia at 650 Dalton Drive, Dalton, Georgia 30720. On October 28th naman po is the Cobb County Fam Proclamation. This will be at 7 o'clock in the evening at 100 Cherokee Street, Marietta, Georgia 30090. So October 15 naman po is the Georgia Governor Fam Proclamation at 1 p.m. This is at 206 Washington Street, Atlanta, Georgia 30334. At sa November 2 naman po is the Documentary of Nurse Unseen. At 2 p.m., reception, 3 o'clock, ang screening po. And then there will be question and answer portion after that. Ito po ay sa 5665 Peachtree Dunwoody Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30342. Ngayon po, please, I will be back to present to you our guest. Welcome back mga kababayan. Ngayon po, please help me welcome our guest, Angela Hodnett, a senior information security awareness consultant who will talk to us about internet safety basics. Welcome Angela, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to get to talk to you today about internet safety. One key option is that October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month.
Oh, wow. Good timing.
Great timing.
Yes. This is a very important topic in today's world of technology. We are so excited to hear from you. So let's go ahead and dive into our conversation. Please tell our audience, what is cybersecurity awareness?
Well, you know, when we talk about cybersecurity awareness, we are really talking about digital self-defense. It's the ability to recognize online threats like phishing emails, suspicious links, or even weak passwords, and taking the steps to protect yourself. Just like we teach kids to look both ways before crossing the street, we need to teach everyone to navigate the internet safely. It's not just a technical issue. It's a life skill.
Right. Sometimes it's common sense as well. Let's start with the basics. Why is it so important to make sure you're connected to a secure network before doing anything online?
That's a great question. Before you do anything online, it's critical to make sure you're connected to a secure network. A secure network encrypts your data, which means it scrambles the information you send and receive so that hackers can't easily intercept that information. If you're on an unsecured public Wi-Fi network, like if you're working in a coffee shop, an airport, or at a hotel your personal information could be exposed to anyone else that's also on that network. Think of it like a postcard versus a sealed envelope. On an open network, your data is like a postcard. Anyone can read it and anyone can see it. But a sealed envelope is like a secure network. It is sealed and it's protected. That's especially important when you're entering your credentials, your passwords, financial information, working with sensitive accounts, or even sharing private information. With so many devices being connected to the internet, like phones, tablets, smart TVs, heck, even my oven is connected to the Wi-Fi. It is easy to forget that one of the potential entry points could be a treasure trove for cyber criminals, any one of those devices. So making sure that you are on a secure network is necessary for protecting yourself. So remember, like if you're at home, use a strong password and make sure your router is up to date. If you're out and about, avoid public Wi-Fis unless you're using a VPN or a secure hotspot. It is one of the simplest ways to stay safe, and it's something we should all be doing every day.
Thank you so much for that, because a lot of people, you see, when they're traveling, they're always logging onto the airport Wi-Fi, and that's really important because people forget. Thank you for saying that. We use the internet for everything, from banking to shopping to connecting with loved ones. How can people better protect their personal information during these everyday transactions?
Okay, so when it comes to everyday transactions like shopping online, paying bills, or even checking your bank account, protecting yourself starts with awareness. And there are a few smart habits that you can start today. So first, always make sure the website you're using is secure. Look for the HTTPS in the URL and a little padlock icon in the browser. That means your connection is encrypted. Next, be mindful of what information you're sharing and where. If a site or an app is asking for more information than it needs, like social security numbers just to buy a pair of shoes, that's a big red flag. Stick to trusted sites and avoid clicking on links from emails or text messages unless you're absolutely sure they aren't legitimate. Phishing scams are designed to look like they're real or coming from someone you know, and it often preys on people's routine tasks. You want to also make sure you're using strong, unique passwords for each account. That's a key step. You want to make sure that you have unique passwords for each one of your accounts. And if the site offers a multi-factor authentication, take it. Mm-hmm. It's an extra layer, like a code that is sent to your phone and can stop a hacker even if your password is compromised. Also, keep in mind your devices and apps should be updated. Set them to update automatically so you don't forget. Those updates often include security patches, and they protect you from the latest threats. Finally, trust your instincts. If something feels off, like a deal that's too good to be true, it usually is. And if that website page looks strange, pause and double check it. Cybersecurity isn't just about big breaches. It's about protecting yourself in small everyday moments. And the more you build these habits, the safer you will become.
Right. So this is kind of scary because this reminds me of there was one time that I did some shopping online. And of course, put in my information, my credit card. And guess what? I immediately got a notification from my bank saying they denied it because it's it gave them a flag that it was fraudulent. I had to call my bank and told them, no, it was me, but then thank you for denying that. So, yeah, thank you so much for saying the things that you said, because there's a lot of people who don't think about these things, especially when they're rushing, like just buying online. Or also the other concern that we have is that senior citizens who are not, who live alone, and they get like threatening phone calls or forcing them to give their information, and then they get on the on the computer, mm-hmm. and all kinds of stuff. So it's scary out there. So
it is very scary. It is very scary out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you said that your bank called you mm-hmm. about the fraud alert. You can set up fraud alerts on your credit card, so when they do detect unusual activity, you'll get like a message, or they'll ask you to verify the purchase.
That's
before,
right.
Especially if it looks weird.
Yes.
And senior citizens are vulnerable to a lot of different types of scams, mm-hmm. a lot of elderly scams. So it's good to check on senior citizens and talk to them about these types of scams. And they should have like a buddy system,
right.
Like someone that they can call or reach out to that they trust to say, hey, I think that this may be a little weird. What do you think? To help them navigate these types of issues. Yes.
Especially if they don't have their kids in the same city or in the same state. So, yeah, we have to look out for them. So many browsers offer to save your login credentials for convenience. What are the risks of doing that, and what safer alternatives would you recommend?
Well, saving your passwords in a browser, it seems convenient, but there are a lot of risks when doing that. If your device is lost, stolen, compromised, or infected with some type of malware, someone can access those saved passwords easily, especially if the browser doesn't encrypt them securely. And if your browser syncs across multiple devices, meaning that each time you log on to like your phone or your tablet, that information carries from device to device, it could cause a chain reaction if someone is able to compromise just one of those devices, because they will be able to see all of your login history and go back in and create some of your logins to your bank, to shopping, to where you're paying bills. A safer alternative is using a dedicated password manager. These tools are built to store credentials and are encrypted. It's like having a vault. You have one password to get in, but once you're in, you can see all of your different accounts with all your different passwords. These features also allow you to set up fraud alerts, and they also suggest strong password generation. So they'll give you like a suggested strong password for you to use for the account. They are much harder for attackers to access than browser-stored passwords. And no matter what tool you use, always enable the multi-factor authentication. Again, that's just an extra layer, and that's like sending a code to your phone. And so even if the hacker does get access to your password, having that multi-factor authentication is just a powerful layer of protection, and they will not be able to use those passwords.
That's great. Thank you so much for that, because it is initially it's kind of inconvenient. Like, they're asking me to do this again. But I mean, the longer you do it, the safer you feel. It makes so much sense doing that.
Correct. I agree.
Phishing scams seem to be everywhere. Emails, texts, even social media. What are some red flags people should look out for?
When it comes to phishing scams, they're designed to trick you into giving your personal information. They show up just like what you said in our emails, our text messages, even in direct messages on social media. One of the biggest red flags is if the message has a sense of urgency, like you'll be locked out of your account in 24 hours or act now to avoid penalties. These are classic scare tactics, and scammers want you to panic so that you don't think before clicking on the link. Another warning sign is unfamiliar senders or strange email address. I was just talking to a colleague who received an email from a friend asking her to DocuSign some documents. Well, that's not the type of message that her and her friend would usually talk about. And she knew that she didn't do anything to initiate a DocuSign. When she called her friend told her that she had been hacked and not to respond to the email. So if the name looks familiar, but the email seems a little off, another example would be like a bank message coming from a Gmail account. That's a clue that something may be wrong. So also watch for like wording, or does this make sense from coming from this person? Is this awkward grammar? Look at the logos on the email. Do they look slightly distorted? There are also signs that there may be some action that they want you to take, like click on a link, look at this attachment. These are all signs that this may be a fake email. The best defense is to slow down and verify. If you're unsure, contact the company that sent it or the person who sent it using a trusted method. So not like responding to that email, you know, creating an email and then sending it to your friend or calling that friend directly or calling the bank. What I usually tell people to do when you're looking for a phone number from the bank, the best thing to do is turn your card over, your banking card over, and use those phone numbers to call to verify whether or not they sent you some information. But when in doubt, don't click, be calm, and verify.
That's right. I need to share with you another experience that happened to me a couple of years ago. A very good friend of mine that was from her email address and sent me an invitation. It says special invitation. And it was like a card. So I clicked on it because I trusted her. And then all of a sudden it's like it's saying it wouldn't open. And then I had to call her and said, hey, I couldn't open the invitation. And she said, oh my goodness, Jane, that's not from me. My email has been hacked. And apparently when they hacked her, they got all her friends' information and it sent emails to everybody. So in return, I clicked that and it sent invitation to all my contacts as well. So what I did is that, of course, I deleted. I called I think McAfee, and they fixed it. But then I had to make an announcement on my Facebook page saying that please do not click it. If you receive an email from me, it wasn't me. So, yeah, it just reminded me when you told me about the clicking things that are not. But that was tricky because I trusted this friend. So
correct, yeah. They're designed to be tricky. They're designed to be disguised so that you don't even think about it. One of the ones on social media that gets a lot of people is when they get friend requests from people they're already friends with.
Yes.
And they will, you know, click on that. And what happens is the hacker now can see all of your information that you're posting. So when they do reach out to your friends, they can use some of that information to make it seem real. That's what they want to do. They want to make it seem real so that you will take some type of action, like clicking on a link or opening an attachment or putting in your password and your login ID so that they can steal that information. Good for you when you called her, you know, and you recognized that, okay, this was a phishing scam. So that's that awareness and sharing stories, that's how we learn from one another. So I would encourage anyone that's listening, you know, to our podcast today, that if they have a story, share it with somebody, because that's how we learn and that's how you keep awareness in front of your friends, your family, your loved ones. That's how we protect ourselves against these types of attacks.
That's right. So if someone suspects they've fallen for a scam or their information has been compromised, what should they do immediately?
Okay. If someone thinks they've fallen for a scam or their personal information has been compromised, the first thing you want to do is change your passwords. Make sure you go in and change the passwords of any affected accounts, especially if you reuse the password somewhere else. It's a proven fact that most people reuse their passwords. That's why when hackers get their passwords, they try it on multiple platforms to see if they can get into the account. You should always use strong, unique passwords for all of your accounts. I know it's a hassle, but if you have 20 accounts, you need 20 different passwords. And that's where that password manager would come into play, like we discussed earlier. But that's one of the first steps you wanted to do. Next, contact the company or institution that's involved in the attack or the scam. So if it was your banking information or your credit card, call the fraud department right away. Use the number on the back of the card, as I stated earlier. They can freeze your account and monitor it for suspicious activity. They can also help you recover any losses. If it involved your email or social media account, report the breach and follow their recovery steps. A lot of the social media platforms have a way for you to report an issue, and you want to use their recovery steps. You should also monitor your financial accounts and credit reports for unusual activity. You can place a fraud alert or even freeze your credit through all the major credit bureaus. And if you shared sensitive information like your social security number, considering reporting it to the FTC, that's the Federal Trade Commission, at identitytheft.gov. Finally, report the scam to the authorities. You can report it to your local police department, or if you're at work and it happened on a work device, call your workplace IT team. The sooner you report and respond, the better chances you have of minimizing the damage and protecting yourself moving forward.
Thank you so much. These are all very important information. To wrap up, what are the top three takeaways for anyone who wants to stay safe online?
Okay. My three top takeaways, if I had to leave you with just three, they would be: number one, stay alert and think before you click. Whether it's a email or text message, pause and check for red flags like urgency, unfamiliar senders, suspicious links. Most scams rely on catching you off guard. Second, protect your accounts with strong passwords and multi-factor authentication. Using a password manager to keep things secure and unique, and always enable the extra layer of protection with multi-factor authentication, is the perfect way to protect your account. And three, keep your devices and connections secure. Update your software regularly. Avoid public Wi-Fi for sensitive tasks, and make sure you're connected to a trusted network before logging in or making any transactions. Staying safe online isn't about fear, it's about confidence. The more you know, the more empowered you are to protect yourself and your loved ones.
Thank you so very much. With that said, I want to thank you again for spending time with us this morning and sharing with us information of how we can protect ourselves and our loved ones against cyber hacking. With that, I will let you go, and I hope to talk to you again soon. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Ngayon po mga kababayan, bago po ako magpaalam, I want to share a couple of breaking news from the Philippines. Ang unang-una, the Philippines' first e-ferry has arrived. The Department of Science and Technology and UP Diliman launched MB Dalaray, an electric ferry or e-ferry designed to serve routes along Manila, Makati, Mandaluyong, Pasig, and Taguig starting in November. It is locally designed and developed. MB Dalaray gets its name from a Tagalog word that refers to flow of current. The e-ferry was developed by the Electrical and Electronics Engineering Institute of UP Diliman, led by Dr. Lou Andrew R. Tria, as part of their push for sustainable transport in the city. It will be integrated into the existing Pasig River Ferry service. The free river-based commuter service run by the Metro Manila Development Authority. Ang pangalawa po, the DPWH, Department of Public Ways and Highways, I believe, I may be wrong, the DPWH flood control scandal has wiped out 1.7 trillion pesos from the Philippine Stock Exchange. Not million, not billion, but trillion. SEC Chair Francis Lim recently told financial executives that the massive government corruption has shaken public confidence. When trust breaks down, capital dries up, and everyone, government, business, and the public pays the price, he added. Corruption is a great wealth destroyer, as both billionaire business owners and retail investors lose substantial wealth. Question: what can bring the Philippines back on track? Yun lang po for today. Salamat po sa patuloy ninyong pakikinig sa Usapang Pinoy at sana po ay lagi kayong makibahagi sa ating usapan. Abangan po ang mga susunod na kabanata. Maraming salamat po. Hanggang sa muli, paalam muna sa ngayon.